morning, Patriots. So before we begin, let's talk about one of our favorite topics, which is Mike Lindell and MyPillow, and how we need to support them as much as possible with great support from Patriots, since the left seems to want to try to cancel his company completely, which is nuts. MyPillow is a great company led by a CEO who is fighting for America, fighting for freedom, fighting for voter integrity, setting up a new Amazon competitor for Patriots, setting up a new channel, TV channel, has his own social media space, does all sorts of outreach. In fact, MyPillow now has contributed over $40,000 to Bard's Fest. So in celebration of MyPillow and Mike Lindell, we have proclaimed that we need to have a slipper revolution. And that slipper revolution is going to be on the 27th of August. At least the celebration of the slipper revolution will be on the 27th of August. So you need yourself a pair of My Slippers and probably some other things like a My Pillow, a My Sheets, My Comforter, My Doggy Bed. Hopefully you don't have to sleep in that My Doggy Bed, but if you do, at least you'll know you'll be comfortable. So go on over to MyPillow.com and use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. Head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, or you can call 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. Talk to a real person. You can tell them that, well, I got thrown on the couch, so instead of being on the couch, I better get myself a My Doggy Bed and a My Pillow, and definitely need some of those My Slippers and everything else you want to tell them. But make sure you also tell them that you heard about them from the most coolest, bestest podcast on all the web, Bards FM. And there you go. So you've got promo code BARDS, MyPillow.com, and 800 number 800-975-2939. Good luck, Patriots. This is your mission if you choose to accept it. And we need to accept this one. Well, Patriots, I have a little quote to read to you this morning. It's a little walk down memory lane. It's actually set in 1972 by one of our favorite Nazis, Zbigniew Brzezinski. And his quote was, "Shortly, the public will be unable to reason or think for themselves. They'll only be able to parrot the information they've been given on the previous night's news." Well, congratulations to the American public. You have now arrived. What a wonderful world we live in. What a wonderful world we live in. Big, fantastic place. Beautiful people everywhere. Love the way they do their hair. That was Devo, by the way, if you ever want to know. And it's here. It's truly here. I swear there's some amazing songs if we go back and look. And we just laugh. We're like, oh, look at that. They were so true. But the point of all this is that when people put their faith and their wisdom into the brain box that they call the TV, the propaganda tube, and they walk away from God, and they're meandering around the world acting like this life is all there is, and the purpose of life is to do more shopping and buy another pair of shoes and do your hair in a better way, it's probably likely that by the time you get to be middle age, most of what you say will be based on what you've heard on the TV, read in a magazine, Cosmopolitan style, or parroted on some sort of mainstream media network for the radio. It is stunning to me that people actually have forgotten the purpose of life. And therein lies one of the great mysteries of our time. What is life if you don't have God within it? And that's not necessarily a rhetorical question. When you look around, we kind of see what life becomes, which now gives us an indication of what life is. Is life truly the purpose of job, mortgage, and new car? Is that what life is? Debt, paying off debt. I mean, that's probably the number one purpose. If you talk to people and really dig into what they see their life's function is, it's to get out of debt and to retire. And it's a pretty sad statement to where we're at. And of course, that's going to shift a little bit by gender. Oh, when I say gender, I'm sorry, I need to be clear. Between men and women, since there's only two genders, and we don't get confused on those, at least on this channel. Not that alphabet soup that the left tries to create. But there is a real question of what is the purpose of life? And the purpose of life is not anything that is man-made, though that's been the biggest lie put before people. And they've been able to do it because everything that we live in and touch is somehow corrupted by this Babylonian nonsense of money, and everything is valued in terms of money. When we sit back and we look critically at our world, maybe I should say objectively and honestly at our world, and we're looking around at how value works in our perception of value in this world, it's a really sad testimony to what we've become. Love, here's one for you. Love is valued in terms of a number of things, potentially, not always, but it's important to value these. Love is in terms of how nice is the ring, or how big is the rock on the ring that the bride wears. How expensive is the wedding? How nice is the car the guy wears or drives? By the way, that's a great one. I always love that one. Try and experiment, guys, gals, pay attention. You should watch it happen, because if you haven't, it's amazing. Drive around in a beater truck. I do this, and I enjoy this, by the way. In a beater vehicle, and watch how people look at you. Now make the same drive through people in a really cool new vehicle and watch how people look at you. I'm going to tell you, it's like you went through a portal of time. And it's literally always like all of a sudden the dude becomes super cool the minute that he's in a nice vehicle. Same dude drives a old truck or van or old vehicle, whatever it is, nothing cool or fancy. Man, he's nothing. It's like, ugh. That right there is always kind of at the core and reminder to me of how far we have fallen. Because somehow somebody changed his way he looks, acts, is treated. It all changes with what he's driving. We know the game. Love is another one. Love is how well we stash our parents away. This one I enjoy. Not really. It was sarcastic. How nice of a retirement home we pack our parents into. How expensive of a nursing home we can stick our parents into. Love is how nice a private school we can stick our kids into, and how many different activities we can pack into our kids' lives so that they're not around the house and around us. So there is a real challenge here in our life of how value has worked. And value ultimately becomes related to dollars. And that gets to what you can afford. Value in the church, very frequently, you will hear the reference of, he's a very important member of the church. what does that mean? Look at how much they're donating, and that'll translate usually to how important they are. And that's with rare exception. Our biggest challenge in our life is resetting value and getting value back to one common thread, which is value is based on how we live through Christ and to the Father. It's not a judgment. It's not a comparison. It's a personal issue inside of us of striving always to live through Christ to the Father. That's true value. Because God doesn't give us our gifts and talents, and it's many, to be valued differently by dollar amounts. What's the difference? What's the true difference in God's eyes between the person who bakes amazing cookies and the person who knows how to repair an engine? In our idea, when we talk about those two gifts and talents, we look at one and say, how much does one make and how much does the other make? What's it worth? When we look through God's eyes, we have to ask, what's the value of one of those in discipleship through Christ? And the answer is that the cookie maker and the mechanic are equal. It all depends on how they apply their gifts and talents to their discipleship through Christ. All of this centers on the critical piece of value. Karl Marx, you know Karl Marx, developed the concept of historical materialism. And sadly, as much as people hate what he wrote, he has some accurate truth to what humanity is like. All human interaction is defined by the material exchange. That is material, that's historical materialism. All human relationships are defined by a material exchange. And so he goes back in history and he references a variety of examples showing that how relationships over time have been built primarily through the concept of a material exchange. I wish he'd been wrong. Unfortunately, to a large degree, he's right, not 100%. But that's how these relationships are built. But what happens when we start to shift that? And that's something that we have to start looking at critically in our own lives, of how value affects our relationships, how value affects everything around us. What does a wedding look like when it is not a pomp and show circus, but instead a private affair? And some have had this, so this is not a criticism or judgment, but it's important to look at this. This is something that's always stunned me. It's what is the importance of a wedding, of celebrating to the level people do? Why does that become a compelling issue to make a couple, a person, princess and prince for the day? And there's a value in that that's feeding something greater than love. And it's not, I don't see it as a positive. Values in those deeper places of our relationship to one another, our relationships, our relationship to God, cannot have the corruption of money if they're going to be true. And if they are true, if it becomes a truth, then that relationship we have is not true. If the relationship somebody has to God is based on the amount of money they drop in the offering plate, that is not a relationship, a true relationship with God. That's a relationship the Pharisees would have stood up towards God. You don't buy your way to heaven. So when we strip down value and we strip away the monetary component, which is the piece of Babylonian money magic. We start to understand how deep this core of corruption has occurred within our daily lives. And we start to grasp the challenge that is ahead of us at a very personal level and what it's going to take to reset this world towards a true setting where value is based on God's gifts and talents, God's love, the unlimited potential of God provides for us. Now, I'm going to read this verse that I read last night, and I love this verse, and I'm probably going to read it quite a bit in the coming days because it just seems to be one of these verses when you find one that is forefront in everything we're doing. And this is 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6. And it has application to all of this, whether it's value, whether it's the war we fight. It gets to the core of where we of what we're trying to accomplish here. And it reads this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." When value stands between your obedience to God, which it does when you put a monetary tag to it, we cannot be complete in our obedience to God. Money is a tool that we have to use to live by in this world. Whether we like it or not, that's just the way it is. However, how it controls us, how it shapes our relationships to one another, to God, how it dictates our quote-unquote love to one another, that's where we end up with a major problem. Just to go back to my previous example, the guy that drives the beat-up car and then drives a nice car is the same guy. The other part of that story is also how it the car that people drive changed their own attitude. It's always amazing to me. It's supposed to be the same person. Somehow a car shouldn't dictate personalities, but it does. And it dictates a relationship that people see, a value that they see in that person. That's in itself so trite and so dark in what it's saying about where we go and how what we become. It's a real sad statement. Our images are being built by the propaganda box that sits in our house. How many houses now have a TV that hopefully is silent? It's more like a monument to a time fast, and that's a beautiful thing, as it should be in every home. And hopefully in our lifetime, as we move forward, that box, that propaganda box, won't even exist in houses, at least not houses where God is worshiped and the love of Christ lives. Because that thing right there is Satan's voice right into your home. Understand where the voice is, how the voice is developed. When you turn that box on, you are bringing in entertainers, programming, voices, discussions, the propaganda of that they want to call wisdom. You're inviting that into your home, to your dinner table, to be part of your life in the home. If people were to listen to an audio Bible, the amount of time that most people have listened to the TV, our relationship to the world would be completely different. And I say audio because of this. When people turn the TV on, most of the time they don't even pay attention to what's on the TV. Kids do to a short degree, but adults don't just sit and look at it most of the time, unless it's, you know, a specific show like someone's favorite soap opera. Oh my goodness. Sorry. Human evolution. They're wondering where evolution has come. And our transhumanists are saying we need to evolve to the next step. You almost want to say, please, go right ahead. Take them with you. Those that have lived their life through soap operas and nightly sitcoms. Let them become part of your new transhumanist collective mind. Good luck, by the way. Hopefully, again, like I said, the world becomes a place with those that walk with the love of Christ, where that brain killer, and that's the TV, is silent and eventually removed from the homes. It no longer will function. And when we get to that point, we've accomplished some great things. And we're getting there. And that's a very positive and hopeful thing. Because by removing that, we're removing an influencer of value. One that shapes what image looks like. Which, just to kind of highlight that, and this is always a tricky one. But it is easiest described this way. When we start talking about health and wellness and images and so forth in the TV, everything is material, physical. A certain body type, a certain physique, a certain way of being, both in the way you're dressed, what you drive, what you do. These are all images of value that have nothing to do with the true relationship we have with one another. Now, that said, on this other side, God did not tell you to take his temple and grind it to the ground. He needed you to keep it healthy. That does not mean everybody's going to be an Olympic athlete. We have different body types. We have different ways we are as physical beings. But being respectful to the temple is right up there on number one. But it also doesn't say that as a woman, you need to wear a size 4. And as a guy, you need to wear a size 27 skinny jeans. Okay, so that's that influence line again. The devil never works in pure, easy ways. Always shaves the edge enough to take a little bit of what God intends and turns it into something nasty. Right? The people that come into the nightly news, they're not newscasters, they're actors. But they have been profiled. Oh, with rigorous studies of what people want and seem as perceive as trustworthy to come into their homes and to talk to them at night about what to think. That's how they're created. And when we get those sorts of components, you start to realize why newscasters all look the same. Besides maybe that there might be a few lizard heads in there, like all of them. But when you look at how new newscasters look, they all look the same in one way or another. And you all know this one, and it's not a joke. I wish it was. We all know that if you're a woman weather lady, you need to wear scanty clothing. And if you are a man weather guy, you need to be some sort of second-rate comedian. I mean, that's an amazing job, by the way. Completely sidetrack on this, but what job in the world can you be wrong 100% of the time and get a salary raise and an extended career? Be a weatherman. That's fantastic, by the way. Incredible to me. And be an idiot at the same time on TV without even, I mean, just, it's like two qualifiers. Are you an idiot? Yes. Can you tell a bad joke? Yes. Oh, and you're a woman. Can you wear some just scanty clothing, kind of look like a slut? Yes. Okay, you got the job check. Would you like a lifetime contract? It is the way that we've been shaped. And when you really look deep at the influence of the way TV news is and TV entertainment, this is one of these dark walks that every one of us needs to take. And you'll find that every time you reflect on things, you start looking at behaviors, the sort of way we interact with one another, what we value, how we perceive value. You're going to find that if you've had any TV in your life, even if you've had the TV off for 5 years, mind you, okay? You're going to find that there's corrupted kernels of thought that still exist within you. And it's a process to really address. It's more of an internal reflection and cleanup. And when you do, make sure and bring the big old horse stall shovel, because there's some stuff that sits in there that all of us are like, whoops, I didn't realize where that came from. So our walk here in life, as we align ourselves with the true nature of what God values versus what this world over here values, they are absolutely opposed. One is Christ-like. That's that walk with God, where value is based on the gifts and talents and the range of things that we can do in the world. It's based on a spiritual existence, where the tithing is not about a material thing, but it's about paying forward in the goodness and the greatness of what the world can be. And it's that gift from the heart that is paying into a future, creating a, loosely put, a fabric of goodness, of kindness, of gifting from the heart that helps move that forward. That's that interweaving between where we are and where we're going. And the tithe is that respect of using your gifts and talents in such a way that you can elevate not only the gift to a person, but elevate the many in the process, because we're paying into the future. We're literally paying forward. The tithe becomes a dollar amount in the Luciferian side, because it roots itself in the Babylonian money magic. And this is just one little indicator of how deep this runs. In that value of life in God's side, it isn't that you have to, it isn't that you're out here in the having to be told what to look like. You're taking care of yourself because of the love of what God gave you as a wonderful temple. And in the process, you're using that beauty of energy and what you do to live beautifully in the world, to continue to gain respect for the life and the love that God gave you to share with others. In the Luciferian side, the value of how we take care of ourselves is related to what a gym you can afford, what cosmetics you can buy, what clothes you can afford to buy. If you have a good fashion eye to wear, you might be able to shop at another place, but mix and match some good things together. What shoes you wear, what your watch looks like, what your car you drive. These are all corrupted issues deep within us. And once we strip, and it's very difficult, this is kind of one of these deep, like we're going to get into the core programming of us. These are important issues. And the irony of this, and I go back to this, is that one of the people that identified it was probably one of the biggest atheists of our time, which was Karl Marx. Literally identifying that human relationships and human interaction are based primarily on the concept of a material exchange. And there is truth to that. But let us strike that truth to the ground, and let us now push into that beautiful place of value as God intended. That as we walk truly with God and we are waging war as we walk in the flesh, but not according to the flesh, that this is a war that we wage in a spiritual sense to overcome the hooks and the burdens placed upon us in the physical plane to keep us from appreciating the physical or the spiritual world and the spiritual essence of who we are as beings. And when we totally embrace that and we realize that as we work through the love of Christ, what that does to strip away the old and remake us in His image, we are now walking at a different pace, a different timing, a different relationship to the values of the many things that God gives. And nowhere in that walk does it dictate a dollar amount. It dictates a relationship to the dominance of what money controls you, how money controls you. It dictates our relationship to how material things affect our concept of materialism and hopefully or value. And hopefully all of those things we can strip away. And as we walk purely, increasingly in that place of the love of spirit, the love of God through the love of Christ, we realize that all wealth, all relationship of all things is given to us by God, freeing ourselves from that burden and control of value being based on material and financial issues, and now walking free and trusting in God to deliver in these beautiful ways that He does in so many ranges of things, opening our eyes to a depth of God's value that's greater than anything we could ever imagine, with a potential that is unlimited, with a joy that has no restraint, and with a love that reaches beyond any distance we can measure. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'll guide us in these days in terms of value, to help us open our eyes to those challenges of value, where value hooks itself in us through the masteries of and magic of Babylonian money magic and the relationship to things that tend to anchor us and pull us down to limit our view of the world through the optics of dollars and costs and return on investment. Lord, help us move through these spaces because we know that these are deep programming pieces within us. Corruptions at a deeper level sometimes than we can even perceive, but let our eyes open to where those hooks and anchors are within us, that we can sit before you, we can kneel before you humbly to show our heart, and in so doing, you can show us and expose to us where those obstacles are, where those hooks are, so that we can undo that. We can free ourselves from the anchors of this Luciferian world and walk into a space of unlimited value through your eyes, Lord. The value is not rated on money or things, but values rated on measurements that we can't even conceive. The glory of love, the power of true faith and worship, the power of prayer, the unlimited sense of what we can do with gifts and talents when we free ourselves by our own barriers to success. Guide us, Lord, in these times to free us from that, to help us see clearly, to step into a greater relationship and a deeper relationship with you. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. It's truly an amazing place to walk when we strive to let go of those hooks and anchors and walk truly in the glory of God, unrestrained by anything. Let me give you an example as we close today. When we place value on something, we add to that the can and the can't about things. This is important. So if I look at something and I say, I want to do something, I want to ski, for example, I want to become a great downhill or cross-country skier. Immediately, and that is a passion of mine. And if that's a passion and I search my heart, I discover that this is truly a gift that God has given me. And it's a talent that I want to nurture and I want to grow in terms of God's light and His glory. I don't know where it's going to take me, but that's something I want to do. And I'm clear on that. Well, the problem we have is the minute that we place the monetary value on it, I start to tell myself what I can and can't do based on the amount of money I have to do such an act. Instead of trusting in God to guide me and to deliver me in this, I now tell myself I can or I can't do it because I don't have enough money. I live too far away. I don't have easy access to the slopes or to the backcountry. My job won't allow me to take time off. I can go on 100 things, not one of which is related to God's gifts or talents. All of those are limiters that are put upon us that we do ourselves by the constructs of the world that we accept that are all false. The amazing part about this Babylonian money magic is it's not rested just in the dollars that you have or the dollars that are put to something. Its deepest power over all of us is the ability for it to cap, to limit, and restrict the greatest gift that God gives, which is the unlimited potential to pursue greatness through Him. And when we can strip away that hook upon us, no matter what you touch or do or seek to strive to, you will work through God and it will be incredible. It will be unlimited. It will be amazing because it is God through you, as long as you don't cap it or limit it by the perceptions of a material world's value. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press in. And this fight is a tough one, Patriots, and we all know it, and we're all living through it, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful fight to be part of. Because through our prayers, we unhook and release ourselves. Through relationships that we build deeper and deeper through the glory of God and the love of Christ, we discover how much God is with us, how much He loves us, how He continues to stand with us and never forsake us. And the greatest part about pushing deep within God is we discover this other great thing, which we know, but we now begin to feel in ways never before imagined, that we are here to occupy the land to expand His kingdom. And in the end, regardless, He is going to win. And therefore, we live without fear and without limit. Have a beautiful day. It's a Thursday, June 24th. And we're almost already at the end of the week. Unbelievable. So I'll either see you in the next hour or see you later on. But until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
Fly wherever we were going. Fire and ice, we built our lives on survival. Guiding past the fault lines, we're running your head. Revival.